Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with
Trendy Trev. Welcome back to your daily live outdoor broadcast, National Talk Black. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming live from the Pullman Hotel here in Cairns for the OB outdoor broadcast for the Casanam Conference. And the Casanam Conference is here at the Pullman Hotel on Abbott Street. Casanam, acronym, Congress of Aboriginal Torres Strait Island Nursing and Midwives. And it's a two-day conference, coming to the second final day. The theme for this year's conference is Back to the Fire, and it's about getting our mob who are culturally lost, or in regard to their journey in the academic world, is to never forget your roots, come back to the fire to get your strength and your focus to move on and move further. And look, we're having beautiful yarns with all deadly people here, and I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Dr. Lenore Geyer, who's come to join me. She was one of the keynote speakers, spoke yesterday, and she spoke on the a unified call to action from Australian nursing and midwives in regarding Black Lives Matter. A very good morning, my sister. How are you, Dr. Lenore?
Good morning to you. I'm well. Lovely to be here.
Thank you for coming. First of all, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Okay, I'm Lenore Geyer. I'm a Bulgarman woman from Palm Island, born and bred on that country. But my mother comes from Kalkadoon Territory,
yes.
And my father from has Torres Strait Island. My father was born on Palm Island too, but his father is from Moa Island in the Torres Strait.
So, oh, beautiful.
And my grandmother is Birigubba, so we've got
fruit salad.
A good salad, yes.
Fantastic. Dr. Lenore, thank you. Explain, doctor of what role, doctor in what studies?
I have a PhD. I'm a nurse and midwife, mm-hmm. So, and my PhD study looked at the strength of child rearing practices of five generations of Palm Island families, of Bulgarman families. So that came about because, you know, with the child protection system, there was a lot of deficit narrative, sort of deficit and deficit thinking about Aboriginal child rearing. Mm. You know, if it wasn't done their way, it was deemed the wrong way. So I wanted to just do a lot of work around bringing out the strength of our child rearing practices, because...
Well, we've done it for 60,000 years.
That's right.
And, we know what we're doing.
And, you know, the way we did things, yes, was different from Western way, different from the white way, but it didn't mean it was wrong.
Exactly.
It was different, you know. Like.
Exactly. You're talking about working on country, with mob on country, about mob on country. So a beautiful place to work in, and you, it's fitting that you're doing that work.
Yes.
Because you're from there. It belongs to you.
Yes. You know, I was raised by my parents who did that work as well. They worked for their people and advocated for their people. So their heart was always in community and how to build community and family. So that was their fire that they built. So they passed that fire on to me, you know, and my other brothers and sisters on how to work for the well-being and the prosperity of our people. And when I say prosperity, it's not really about material wealth. It's about the prosperity of our own hearts, of our feeling that, you
know... Spiritual wealth.
Yes, we are grounded, we are loved, we are dignified, we are, you know, we know who we are.
Yes, so, yes.
That's a intergenerational work that happens. And it can be traumatic at times. It can be hard because you're coming up against that parallel intergenerational trauma as well. So that work of, I would call it, it's a work of love.
Yes.
It's a work that, and it's not that surface emotional love. It's a work of that deep love when you have to confront sometimes darkness and you still love in that area. You're not looking at the things that people do. You're actually looking at that person and trying to work in love with that person.
Sure.
You know?
And loving them from where they're at.
That's right.
And helping them grow through the so-called trauma.
That's right. Yeah. And it's only, you know, I always say that our as a nation, as a First Nations people, in the whole, there's a that we've colonization has not brought love.
Yes, exactly.
And that love has been, you know, the trauma. I should qualify. In some areas, yes, there was, you know, the individual or certain discrete areas where people felt love. But on the whole, colonization was not a loving concept. It's it just cuts things off.
Exactly.
You know? And so a lot of trauma has been
because of the loss of love.
Yes, people want to know that they're loved. Mm. That is the deep sense of who we are.
It's
as a
fundamental
person.
Of life.
That's right.
And so
how do we express that unconditional love in our work?
You know, true, exactly. Yeah, bring it to
without judgmental, work. Without yes, yes. accepting people from where they're at, accepting people for who they are, but helping them walk that journey of working through their hurt or their trauma.
Yes.
And
so if you look at it, we are all nurses, aren't we?
That's right. We're all carers. I mean,
all carers,
we've all. If you look at our culture, we are taught to care for each other, to look after
exactly.
each other, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly.
We have boundaries, yes.
Mm.
And that's for our own well-being, to recharge and you know, and sometimes there's business that we don't get involved with because that's their business, but we stand and we like a framework where we can support if somebody
exactly.
gets hurt, you know? So
exactly.
it's that...
Exactly, we're there for each other.
Yes, that's
yes.
right. And
that's missing, isn't it?
The society that we live in today, the wider Western society, and then the technology that's developed, we've kind of that swallowed that up a little. So it's bringing our young people particularly back to, and our young people do care for each other.
Sure, yes,
they have deep care for each other, but they're carrying trauma too, their sense of caring or their way that they do care for you is sometimes, you know, coming together and doing risk-taking behaviours.
Yes, exactly.
But at the core, if you look at those risk-taking behaviours and how they gather together, the core of that is the togetherness. They
togetherness.
Want that relationship to belong.
Yes,
belonging.
Exactly.
You know.
And that's the ingredient that's missing. And we're bringing it back to the table in regard to your study. To our deadly listeners that have just tuned in, National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, coming live from the Pullman Hotel here in Cairns for the CASNAM Conference, Congress of Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Nursing and Midwives. And I'm having a deadly yarn with Dr. Lenore Geyer. Your delivery yesterday, Doctor, in regard to a unified call to action from Australian Nursing and Midwifery regarding Black Lives Matter. Mm. Can you elaborate on that, please, my sister?
Yes, I mean, Black Lives Matter is a famous like hashtag you're seeing everywhere nowadays, and it elicits so much emotion from people. Some really angry emotions.
Yeah.
Some people really like, yes, it, you know, their lives do matter. But that,
because the statement is all lives matter.
Well,
is when you hear from the other side of the coin.
When you say all lives matter, you all lives matter is, it sort of overshadows the need of people whose lives don't matter. You know, like you need Black Lives Matter is specifically around black people, people of color, you know,
yes,
who, when you look at our history, their lives didn't matter in the colonization process.
On in all aspects.
You know, their lives were wiped out by Terra Nullius. So our lives do matter. I agree that we all, as a people, lives do matter.
Yes.
But when we are caring for a particular group of people who are black, their lives matter.
Yes,
and
that's the message
trauma,
there.
You know,
exactly.
They've been traumatized. So when you say all lives matter, you negate the lived experience of black people and their hurt and their trauma. Mm. And you just, it's like, if I can put it so crudely, shut up, we don't want to hear about your wounds. We don't want to hear about your story,
exactly,
because we're all matter here. Now, we're all Australians.
That's the statement they make.
And sadly, we'd love to say with deep love in our heart that we're all belong to this country as Australians. But there are deep processes that need to happen, and one of that is healing and truth. you know, the truth-telling of our nation, and Black Lives, that paper, a unified call to action, was specifically for my nursing and midwifery colleagues, non-Indigenous colleagues and Indigenous colleagues,
yes,
to come and sit by the fire, if you want, and, you know, looking at the theme of Katznam.
Back to the fire.
To truth tell.
Yes.
What do we do when we sit around a fire? There's more of a, you know, our stress levels go down. That fire actually starts talking to us, you know?
Exactly.
And the fire, I was saying this on a Sunday session, that fire burns away stuff that you don't need. You know, like, why do we burn off country?
We
burn off all that rubbish and
yes,
stuff like
right,
that.
Right.
And then you prepare a place for growth.
For growth, exactly.
So that's what, you know, Unified Call to Action was around, us coming together as a profession, because as a profession, nurses have done things in the name of government against Black people too.
Exactly.
And that's a wound in our profession.
Well, we're talking racism here, aren't we?
That's right.
We're talking racism, yes.
Yes. Yes, and, you know, models of racism have been out there as part of the Aboriginal Aboriginal Protection Act.
Mm.
That was a racist act, you know.
Yes, it was.
It wasn't really for protection.
No.
It was, you know.
Control.
So, so we need to heal our profession before we move on. And, you know, the concept of that paper, the central concept is the proper work of cultural safety.
Yes.
You know?
It's got to be front and center.
Yes, and cultural safety is a healing work.
Mm.
It's not a threat to white people.
No, but they take it that way.
That's right.
White people take it that way.
That is because they have a wound in their heart.
Mm. Guilt?
You know? Maybe guilt.
Whatever.
Maybe
yep.
Maybe they've experienced racism,
yes,
from Black people. So when we talk about cultural safety, they think we're deflecting it on them. No, cultural safety goes two ways.
Yeah,
you know,
two-way street,
it's
yep.
about us healing as well.
Exactly.
As them. Yeah, so.
Exactly. Look, a very powerful delivery yesterday, and with your colleagues. How long have you been a part of Katznam? Are you a member as such,
or
what do you think of Katznam as an organization?
I wasn't there as a founding member, but I've always followed Katznam in my you know, my nursing career.
Yes.
And I've been with Katznam now for several years now, maybe
okay.
a decade.
They've put a new CEO?
As officially a member of Katznam, you know.
Yes.
Yes. I'm one of the elders now.
Okay.
I mean, I've been nursing and doing for over 40 years now.
Okay,
so.
Sister. Thank you.
Yeah, yes.
And they've appointed a new CEO in Professor Roy Ann West,
Professor
my
Roy
beautiful
Ann
cousin.
She's
she's
a dynamic woman.
Yes.
Dynamic woman, dynamic nurse, dynamic First Nations nurse. You know, just being here at the conference, you know, Roy is her handprint, you know, and her footprint is on this conference. So
yes.
She's making her path.
Yeah, beautiful.
And it's a very dynamic leadership for our younger generations of nurses and midwives to see. They can be strong.
They can be strong.
They can be strong as Black men and women.
Yes.
As nurses and midwives in this place. So, and I'm really excited to see what Dr. Karen Martin was saying today about charging Katznam to take on the lead of developing cultural safety for Australia.
For Australia, not only in this industry.
Yes.
Exactly,
so
powerful.
We'll start with our industry, but
yes.
the principles that we have in our industry can be transferred to others.
Yes.
And, so definitely. It's really exciting time to be in. And
the future looks good.
Yes, it does look good. So.
Dr. Leno, thank you very much for your yarn, my sister. Listen, all the best. Enjoy the rest of the conference. We say stay Black, stay deadly, stay strong.
Thank
and
you.
And we'll yarn soon, my sister.
Yes, you too, brother.
Thank you very much. Too deadly. Dr. Leno Guy there, beautiful yarn. There, sister coming from Palm Island and working with Mob there. Big shout out to you, Palm Island Mob. Too deadly. We are here, outdoor broadcast at the Pullman Hotel here in Cairns, Gimoi, Wallaburra, Yidinja country, and doing the Katznam conference. 2 days, the last final day. The theme is Back to the Fire, and Katznam, the Congress of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Nursing and Midwives. And we are giving birth to the conferences because there's 10, 9 after this one here, and started here in Cairns. Listen, you Mob, too deadly. Stay tuned to your daily program, National Talk Black, with Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry.
he was walking.
Deadly Yarns with beautiful deadly people here. I spoke to Dr. Lenore Guy just then. Fantastic, and the work that she's doing with her mob there in Palm Island, and as a doctor of nursing and midwifery, fantastic journey she's doing, the work she's doing. Fantastic. Message to you, Indigenous voice consultation sessions here in Cairns. We got 12:30, if you can make that, at the Cairns Colonial Club. And then they have another one tonight at Ridges Esplanade Resort at 6 p.m. to 8:30. Indigenous Voice public consultation sessions are being held here in Cairns. Indigenous Voice co-design members are gathering feedback across the country on the proposal for local and regional voices and then a national voice. The proposals provide a way of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Australians to provide advice and input on matters that are important to improve their lives. So not only in Cairns, they also have their sessions in Napranum, and then Napranum is happening on the 14th of April, and that's happening tomorrow. That's from 12:30 to 2:30 at the Susie Majua Conference Hall, and also they've got another conference happening in we're looking at the paperwork here. I'll find out where that sheet is. I'll get back to you on that. But listen, stay tuned. Your daily program here, National Talk Black, and we'll be yarning soon here with your daily outdoor broadcast. Welcome to country yesterday with the opening of the conference with Auntie Jeanette Singleton and Gujugujul Fulmile did the welcome to country, and we had the smoking ceremony by Uncle Henry Fulmile, and also had a beautiful Minjil dancers dance troupe, and led by Carl Fulmile, and he's the son of Auntie Henrietta Marie Nee Fulmile. So it was fantastic, and the Malugugul dance troupe, TSI, Torres Strait Islander Dancers, and a beautiful ray of conversation. Also had a yarn, we had Murumu on stage, and he's the Minister for Foreign Affairs, the Sovereign Yidinjian Government. I had a yarn with him on National Talk Black yes as well. So it's deadly when you do these outdoor broadcasts, because you get to catch up with mob. They're all at your fingertips, you know. Usually it's a phone call or an email or text or message in regard to, hey, listen, can we have a chat? But when they're at your fingertips, then it's fruit salad. You've got a ray of deadly people. And nothing beats black on black when mob is yarning to deadly people who are living their lives in whatever space that they're working in a professional sense, whether it be doctors, nurses, midwives, or business owners. And must a big shout out to the business owners, local Indigenous business people who've got their own business, who are exhibitors here at the conference, and they are showcasing their beautiful products. And look at making a good business happening too across the table in regard to their products and produce and what they're delivering, and all the delegates, got that credit card going overtime, swiping up big time. Here on your daily program, the live outdoor broadcast here at the Castanam Conference here in the Pullman Hotel. And a big shout out to the Pullman Hotel as well, the staff, they've done a fantastic job. We're operating in a capital city of tourism, and tourism is struggling thanks to COVID-19. We did have an array of people join our beautiful city Easter weekend, and the whole city was packed out, and regarding hotels were booked, and boats were going out to the reef, and everything was happening. So it was great to see the old phrase, high tides all rises all ships. It was great to have business happening here again in the beautiful tropical north, but because with the closing, finishing of the JobKeeper with the funding from the government for employment, every man for himself, so to speak, everyone's in their own boat in regarding how their business operates and how it runs to runs the forum after the so-called JobKeeper. Do businesses close down? Do they go ahead with continuation with paying staff? But then you need bums on seats, heads and beds in regarding running a business. And if you haven't got the people here, like tourist town we are, there could be opportunity, well, a sad way of businesses closing down. And I think of Japakai, beautiful Aboriginal cultural park with the Japakai people, been running for so long, 30-odd years, and the demise of their business closing down because of COVID-19. But, yes, being strong and working together. So anything you can do around this country, supporting local businesses, you do what you need to do, you mob. We're going to go to a break, you mob, and this is your daily program, National Talk Black, live outdoor broadcast here at the Pullman Hotel with Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry.
It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran!
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbleberry Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Ready Service, for your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Now, with the recent New South Wales floods, there's free legal help for people affected by New South Wales floods. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Financial Rights Legal Centre Aboriginal Mob Strong Solicitor, Mark Holden. On the line, Mark, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Good, thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Mother Nature has spoken, and here we are as human beings to run with the after effects. But in regards to insurance, what have you, there's free legal help for people affected by New South Wales floods. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. So our Mobstrong Debt Help Service, it's a free legal service. you can call up to get any advice relating to any legal advice relating to the floods here as well. So we're getting some calls about how they're not really getting coverage for their insurers, but also as well what to do next as well. So we can provide some urgent legal advice for those who are in trouble.
Oh, fantastic. And it depends on the policy and if they're insured or not. That's very important, isn't it? That's from the get-go, isn't it?
That's right. I mean, there might be some legal jargon here and there about the policies, but the most important thing is to, once it's a claim on your insurance policy, and start taking notes and evidence as to what was damaged and how it was damaged. Especially if it was damaged by stormwater or floodwater, that's very important there as well.
Okay, now we're talking about floods, the water rising. Sometimes that's not insured.
That's right. Sometimes flood insurance can be quite expensive, or it might be something that the insurer might cover. So that might be excluded from the policy, and people don't really sort of see the details in the fine print there when the things are really bad. But also sometimes as well that the water could be damaged by stormwater, or could be damaged by rain runoff, which could be covered by the policy. Mm-hmm. That's why it's really important to be able to talk to your authorities, try to get some eyewitness accounts as to how the damage had occurred as well.
And Mark, regarding the situation, while we're waiting for the turnaround on the insurance, how does people operate regarding their housing, regarding living standards, so to speak?
Yep, that's a good question, Trevor. So firstly, they should check their insurance policy to see if they have any additional benefits, like emergency accommodation. Mm. So the insurer will provide that as well. There will be some issues in terms of trying to be able to save any further troubles here as well. So if they need to be able to set up a tarp to prevent any further damage, then they should do that and get the written permission from the insurer. Most importantly is that they need to get written permission from the insurer before moving anything, unless it's a hazard. Otherwise, the insurer could try to use that against them in the future as well. But also, most importantly as well, to keep the mob safe, to try to be able to go to local community centres to be able to get some emergency and provisions there as well, and to try to be able to get some place to stay safe as well.
And when you're looking at Mother Nature and it's caused the floods, it affects people in so many ways, if not a physical injury, but also in the mental capacity as well. Does insurance cover that sort of stuff?
Well, it depends on what the policy has as well. So every now and then you might have something in there which might offer counselling as well, but some extra benefits there as well.
Yes.
But you're absolutely right there, Trevor, that these floods... They can last forever as well. In our minds as well, we'll never forget about this as well, and that's why it's really important for to be able to take care of your mob first and foremost.
Sure, fantastic. Look, a very important conversation. So for people to reach out, how do they get in touch with the free legal help?
Yeah, so we got ourselves a free call number, so they can call us Mob Strong on 1-800-808-488. That's 1-800-808. 488. Just let them know that you're in a disaster zone for New South Wales floods. You need to speak to a solicitor, and that patches through to the next available solicitor.
All right, fantastic. So just a phone call away at this point in time, just to get the ball rolling in regarding support, or just find out where you are in regarding your insurance. Also important to have the insurance policy with you when you're making that call on 1-800-808-488. Is that right?
Yep.
Mark, very important conversation. Thank you very much for sharing. All the best to your mob there, your team there, your family, and we'll talk soon.
You too, Trevor. Thanks for that.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Adela Yarn there with Mark Holden. He's the solicitor, Financial Rights Legal Centre, Aboriginal Mob Strong. And for people out there, free legal help for people affected by New South Wales floods. The recent floods are just happening. So if you're down that way, your mob, Courier Mob, and you're looking for support and help, call that number 1-800-808-488. That's Mob Strong, Dead Help. And they can point you in the right direction and help you in regard to the light at the end of the tunnel. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. That deadly number here is 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, the National Talk Black. Trendy Trev, Trevor Tim Murray from the Curry, live here at the Pullman Hotel here in Cairns, Gimoy, Wallaburra, Yidinji country, for the Kasanam Conference. Kasanam is Congress of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Nursing and Midwives. Their conference, the first one of 10. Like I said, we're giving birth here to the conferences, the theme Back to the Future, Back to the Fire, sorry, in regards to our nurses and midwives being strong in their profession. But don't forget the fire, don't forget your culture. stay black and stay deadly, stay strong. Been yarning, beautiful, deadly people. Going to catch up with yarn now, deadly sister here, Dr. Carmen Parter, University of Queensland and Poach Centre Indigenous Health. Come to join me, my sister. Very good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. Great, Trev. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you for coming to the program, sister. Let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, I'm a proud descendant of the Drumble and Drura clans of the Beelgubba Nation. So my birthplace is actually Bowen, Queensland there.
Mm-hmm. Mango country.
Yeah, mango country. Yeah, that's right. My mum's a Yasser. My dad's obviously a Parter from around the Rockhampton area.
Yes.
So like, we got a lot of stories around Joskalee, Yipoon, Emu Park there.
Yeah, beautiful.
So,
good country,
yeah,
good
that's
footprint
my
there.
Connection, yeah. But I grew up in Orange, eh? And,
New South Wales?
Yes.
Oh, okay, there you go.
I'm on the way back now. I'm just crossing across the border working at University of Queensland. Yeah.
The spirits have called you home.
Yeah, it's been calling me home for a while.
Giving a bit of a slap behind the ear there too. Yeah. Where you been, sister? Look, fantastic. Well, congratulations. You're recipient of the award there last night.
Yes.
Just share with the listeners the award that you picked up there last night.
So honoured and humbly accepted for 2021 Kasanam Fellowship alongside of my other colleagues, Haleen Grogan and Leona Guy, Dr. Leona Guy, I should say. And it's such an honour to receive such an award in recognition of my contribution.
Yes.
Around Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health. But, no, more importantly, the foundation of the work that I do has been because I've been a nurse, a midwife and a women's health practitioner, which is really paved the way for me to be where I am today in terms of my career.
Yes. So as a young black girl growing up, was that always your passion to become a nurse, midwife?
Yes. Yeah, for some reason it always was, and I had the desire to be a nurse and dreamt about it. And in those days, of course, it was in the hospital system. And interestingly enough, what had happened with me is that I was always on the cuff of change. So in groups before me at Orange Base Hospital, they had to wear hats.
Yes.
And when I started, we didn't have to wear the nursing hats. So there was all this change happening as I proceeded in the nursing profession, and including during my midwifery time, which would have been about the late 1980s, they started to convert the nursing profession into colleges.
Yes.
And then eventually years later into universities. So we now have bachelor degrees of nursing and or midwifery. But then similarly in the 1990s we saw the evolution of the nurse practitioners too.
Yes.
And in my day in New South Wales, myself and a beautiful other nurse called, her name was Jones, and she was from Wilcannia there, and her and I became the first Aboriginal nurse practitioners.
Yes.
You know, and that was run, a program ran through family planning. It was more of a certificate level course, not like today now.
No,
you've got to go off
certified.
And get your master's.
Exactly, yes, yeah. Exactly.
But nonetheless, we ran well women's clinics alongside of GPs and offered well women's clinic to Aboriginal women out there in Central West region of New South Wales. And so we did, you know, things like reproductive health, sexual health, and, you know, talking about pregnancy and all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
well, we're talking about life and death, aren't we?
Yeah, that's
you
it.
You know,
yeah.
Birth and then death. When we talk about the conference here, Kasanam, and the theme Back to the Fire, and also the organisation stands behind Stop the Racism.
Yes.
So as a black woman coming through university studying,
yes,
and going back in your days when you were studying,
yes,
how was the racism for you? How did you get through that? Because the racism would have been there full and front and centre.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, growing up in small town of regional town like Orange, Central West, New South Wales, on Wiradjuri country, we were constantly faced with racism, and to the point that mum would go to shops and no one would serve her. Mm-hmm. And then similarly, and the only people that would serve her, in fact, for clothing for us was a shop called Jack Evans there in Peasley Street. And we were dressed in boys' clothes because no one else would, serve us in orange. And so it was growing up in regional New South Wales was really hard. We were faced with racism front and centre, including when I was at school. And so I live and breathe racism. And then when I ended up...
Well, if it don't kill you, make you stronger, sister.
Yeah, it does. It builds resilience, builds your character. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the beauty of having parents like Mum and Dad, their persistence around supporting us and about getting educated and things like that. And, they never had the opportunities that... that I've had, but even today there's more opportunities for young people that want to go into nursing. And I think one of the biggest challenges is this whole issue of racism. Racism in our health system is prevalent. And I think one of the significant things that we need to understand is how it impacts on how services are provided to people. But similarly, as a nurse, there's this silenceness when I was doing my nursing around the invisibility of Aboriginal health and Aboriginal people and their health needs. We were never taught about Aboriginal health in the course that I did.
Sure, no, that's right.
And nowadays there's
all textbooks and all about the job itself, profession itself.
That's right. I mean, we learn about... in those days, it was called non-English-speaking background peoples, but, of course, the political word is culturally, linguistically diverse communities now. Mm. But, there was nothing about Aboriginal health and Aboriginal issues and challenges around accessing services. So that was a form of institutional racism, invisibility.
Exactly.
And then, of course... Unfortunately, because I'm visibly black, I'm immediately disadvantaged in that
straight
system.
Away from the get-go.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so I, often... I encountered a range of racialised events being a nurse. But I think one of the greatest things that saddened me was, even the racialisation of our mob that are patients in, when they're accessing service, and particularly those in hospital. Sometimes they're considered as complainants or non-compliant.
Yeah. Yeah,
when,
sure.
There's a whole range of stories behind that.
Of course. Yeah. Of course there is. So, I know, give us some description of some sort of racism, because I'm talking about maitre d's or people you're working under who are white.
Yes.
You can just go clean the rooms, don't work on the patients. I mean, that sort of stuff, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was certainly prevalent in my day, and maybe it's pretty sure it probably still exists today,
Which is sad,
you're not
21st
worthy
century.
To be. Yeah, you're not worthy to be there and shouldn't be there. I mean, that was certainly the message that I
So we
got.
Can look at CASNAM as the support arm for a black nurse midwives in regard to you're not in this war by yourself.
That's
you're not rowing this boat by yourself.
Yeah. And that's the beauty about CATSNAM. Every time I talk to student nurses or midwives nowadays, I just say, get online, Google CATSNAM, because you're going to need them.
The support.
For the support that you need to survive in a health system that is inherently racist.
Yeah,
it can't help
up.
Itself.
Yep, it is.
And I think one of the biggest challenges around our mob going into such a system is being able to stay there.
Sure, exactly.
Because, you've got to have that. Got to be resilient. It's
well, the amount of black people we have enrolled in university to become nurse midwives don't all get through because they all drop out.
That's it.
That's because racism is number one enemy of that.
Yeah, yeah.
The reason for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and I think that's the thing too. The higher education's got a lot to answer for too, and they haven't got it right either.
No.
In terms of making sure that their workplaces are culturally safe and competent to be able to manage and deal with racism in the way that they might teach things as well.
Because outside the black skin, they're also discriminated to the cultural way of black people operating regarding birth and death.
That's
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
60,000 years, we brought babies into this world.
That's it.
So we sort of got to know something.
Yeah,
but they're not listening to that. That's not even at the table.
They have never listened to Aboriginal ways of being, knowing and doing, and our knowledges and how we practice our health. And then that's the nature of the beast of Western science and Western systems of how health is provided.
We had one of the keynote speakers speak yesterday about birthing on country.
Yes.
That's a good thing. For black people
absolutely.
And for nurses, black nurses and midwives, yes,
absolutely.
But also to educate our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters who are nurses and midwives who've got that same passion or open mind for learning.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like birthing a country is going to just, at the cutting edge of demonstrating how our culture is part of, you know, achieving those health outcomes that we have been striving for now for well over 30 years in terms of closing that gap. And this birthing on country and what's been achieved with that around low birth weight babies is a significant step forward around showing the mainstream health system this is how you do it. But to do it, you've got to give voice to our mob.
Yes.
And the knowledges that they have. And that's going to be the critical thing for a health system that is dominated by Western white knowledges. Mm. And they need to concede, white knowledge need to concede that you need to step aside and let our mob, you know, bring in the knowledges and our ways of being in terms of how you do things and what we need to
do. I think the message we're delivering there to the so-called educated world, our so-called professors and doctors of the world, I'm talking to our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters, that we are all students for life.
Yes.
And so have an open mind to learn in our ways.
Yes, yes.
If you're true about your profession.
That's it.
Well, be open-minded for the learning. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
You would think.
Yeah, well, that's one of my significant findings out of my PhD. You know, when I titled the PhD Decolonising Public Health Policy and Rightfully Giving Effect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Ways of Being, Knowing and Doing. Mm. One of the significant themes was, you know, hey, you mob, join us on the journey, but have an open heart, open mind and open ears to listen and learn. Because you'll never understand our ways of being, knowing and doing, but we want you to be knowers that there is a different worldview. But that our knowledge is relating to our cultural ways of being, knowing and doing actually count. And that's the most significant thing that the mainstream health system needs to come to terms with.
So, Dr. Carmen, my sister, we've still got a long way to go then in regards to nursing midwifery for our black nurses and midwives in the space that we're living in and the 21st century and regarding successes, because there's only a small percentage of midwives and nurses as black people in this country. And, of course, Professor Royan wants to increase that, but also have a supporting arm, a strong foundation to help them go through the studies.
That's correct.
To have more numbers, yes?
That's it, yeah. Look, and you know, even though, you know, we might be 1% of the population of the nursing and midwifery workforce and having that support to increase that number, I think we've actually have come a long way.
Yes.
From the 1990s when I started to get involved with CATSNM, I could count on my hand how many registered nurses or midwives there were in our in our state in New South Wales, you know. So we've come a long way.
We have.
And I think we should be proud
of
that.
We're going to applaud our successes.
Yeah, that's correct. And but what excites me in being at this conference now is, like, we're having a completely powerful, different conversation around how CATSNM will operate into the future. And as I said last night when I received my award, was... you know, what I get it now. I get it about the sovereignty, you know, and exercising our sovereignty. And,
and the penny dropped you with the delivery
really
with Murumu, the foreign minister for sovereign Indigenous government.
That's it.
So the penny dropped for you last night regarding sovereignty.
People have been talking to me.
To be here.
Get it.
You were meant to hear that yarn.
So I get it now, and I think there's so much power in that and recognising what that actually really means in the practice of healthcare and being a nurse and a midwife, you know. And I think one of the critical things is being really strong in your culture. And when we respond to issues around nursing and midwifery, we've got to manifest and demonstrate our culture.
Yes.
Because that's the way people learn and be grounded in that.
It's an education tool. It's a tool that builds bridges, all the above.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Absolutely. Our culture is strength.
Yeah, strength.
And that's where
the
strength-based stuff comes from. And I think one of the critical things is this need to, though, the healing. The healing needs to happen at individual and community level. And I think the word that Janine Muhammad, the former CATSNM CEO, would actually say is we need nation building, and her colleague Donna Murray. Nation building, that's what we need, and that's where policy needs to change. And policy needs to actually support our culture and what it actually means. And we're seeing a slow shift with the birthing on country, which is fantastic.
Good.
And but more critically, truth telling is going to be fundamental to that. that whole healing
process. The truth will set you free.
Yeah.
A message to our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Dr. Carmen, very deadly talking with you. Thank you, my sister.
Hey, thank you. No worries.
All the best to you and your team, your family.
Yeah.
Enjoy the rest of the conference.
Thank you.
And we'll yarn soon, my sister.
Yeah, no worries.
To Delhi.
Thanks. See you now.
A beautiful yarn there with Dr. Carmen Parra and University of Queensland, Poach Centre for Indigenous Health, and award recipient of one of the awards there last night at the Casanam Conference, as where we're doing the outdoor broadcast in Bumabipa, National Talk Black. Your host, the Bally One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, and this Delhi conference, Casanam, Back to the Fire is the theme. A message about our doctors and nurses and midwives. As you study, don't forget your roots, come back to the fire, get your strength to succeed in your profession, but in life itself, you know, being a Delhi mother, being a Delhi father, and just being a Delhi black person. We are live and well in the 21st century. Stay tuned, your Delhi program, National Talk Black. Too Delhi.
Scalping here.
What's good? Shout out to the homie DJ Darren on this one. Had to get Naka, Jagariza. Let's go. Feeling good right now. First Nations, let's go. Can never claim to keep a gangster, no need to prove it. Every minute, every second of the way needs a movement. We solid, we do it, we did it, we go. So fresh, I think the English is my second language. But no, I'm certain for them land rights, power to the people. Shoot that go in a winner, so remain equal. Ha, and they ain't gotta kill my vibe. But real, recognize real when the truth cries. Hey. One for them land rights, two, make him vibe more. All around the world, now report to the dance floor. One for them land rights, two, make him vibe more. All around the world, now report to the dance floor.
Hey, I let go.
Resume, ticking off the meter, straight to the dance floor, soca, siva. They realize that we're vibing with indigo, capitalize, so now we're hitting the centerfold. Anecdote, visualize I'm making him panico. Bucket up a last ride, wrap it again and go. Sicky, yeah, let's make him wilder with that poly good shoulder shrug, test my style.
Hotel here in Cairns with the Delhi Conference, Casanam Conference. First of many, first of 10. The first one happened here in Cairns, giving birth to the conference in regard to the journey for conferences for Casanam in 2021. Back to the fire, that's the theme of the conference. And just talking about empowering all our beautiful black nurses and midwives, male and females, to be strong in their studies, but come back to the fire, be strong in your culture, and the culture will set you free, will support you, guide you into the future. And Casanam does that. It's come to time where Trendy Trev going to sign off you, Mob. I thank you very much for your company. We're back in the hot seat again tomorrow, back in the studios of Bumabipa Media at 11 a.m. tomorrow. That's Queensland time. And we'll be yarning then, you mob. But thank you for your company. Hope you enjoyed the Delhi yarns and interviews. Check out the Casanam webpage and look at what they do. And also check out BBM's Facebook page as well. You can see all the different people that we've been yarning to. See them in the fresh photos and
and what have you, and see my Deadly Bulldead there as well. But your mob, look, thank you. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still in a pandemic, and hats off to the delegates here and operating here in Cairns, working with masks and what have you, and 1.5 metres, and washing their hands constantly, staying away from the people in regards to social distancing. We had the conference last night, conference dinner last night, and I had a deadly band, but we couldn't get up and even dance, so we're shaking booty in our seats. So so they abide by the rules, and they did well. So big shout out to the organisers and to the Pullman Hotel. But trying to get us on a few mob, too deadly. Like I said, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. National Talk Black, too deadly.
Answer the call. Answer the call. I'm looking for the right change. Take me back again to be with my people. Out on the plains, I came into town about a year now. My plans fell on the ground. I never fell so down. I got to answer the call like the way I should. I got to be with my people out in the bush. No good hanging around out in the streets. People walk up and down and they're not happy. But I'd rather be under a tree, out in the never, never, down by the creek. I got to answer the call like the way I should. I got to be with my people out in the bush. I got to answer the call like the way I should. To be with my people out in the bush. Answer the call. Answer the call.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
We like to work hard and we like to play games. When we dance at the disco, we got